to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello, and welcome to show number 202 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. We hope you had a great week. Tonight, we're going to be talking about our favorite watering holes around Walt Disney World Resort.
Yay!
Woohoo! It is certainly one of our favorite topics to talk about, and we hope it is one of yours as well. So tonight with me, I have Ed. Ed, how are you tonight?
Very good, Lisa. How are you?
I am great. And Jimmy.
Hey, Lisa. I'm good. Thanks.
No, we're waiting till the end of the show, Jimmy. Oh, come on.
I'm not drinking till the end, my bad. I'm fantastic. How are you? I'm so happy to be with you guys tonight.
Oh, great. I can't think of the last time that the three of us were together on a show.
I know. It's been a while.
It has.
Certainly has. So it's a great topic tonight. So where do we think we want to start?
Well, I tell you what, right now Food and Wine's going on down at Epcot. And the reason why we came up with this idea was that, you know, Food and Wine really goes on at Walt Disney World all year round, because they have an amazing amount of bars, lounges, basically places where you can kind of hang out and have a good drink. That covers a lot of the wine, and we decided to talk about that tonight. So what do you guys think? I think we'll start at Magic Kingdom and we'll start doing the parks. And what's the issue with Magic Kingdom, though?
Well, I think the issue with Magic Kingdom, Ed, is that the watering holes are tied to sit-down restaurants.
Right. Now, this is one of those topics that could start a big, big argument on the Facebook page.
Yes.
As far as drinking in the Magic Kingdom, if it should be allowed, like it is in all the other parks. I haven't actually had the chance to eat at any of the restaurants that serve the drinks yet, so I really haven't had a chance to try them out. How about you guys?
I have. I've eaten at, actually, I didn't have a drink there, but my cousin did. We ate at Skipper Canteen, and that's one of the restaurants you can get a drink. And he, you know, my cousin had a beer, too. I think the way they've done it is classy, and I think it keeps it under control. I don't see people going in the restaurants to eat dinner and getting smashed and then walking around the park. And I think that was the concern of most people. So I think it's done correctly. And, you know, for the purists that say, well, you never was supposed to, you know, serve there and all that, they've always served at Club 33 in Disneyland. You just have to be rich to go there.
It's a good point. It's a really good point. Yeah.
Right. So do you guys know off the top of your heads which restaurants have? Be Our Guest, you mentioned.
Be Our Guest and Skipper Canteen, I know, do. And
Tony's Town Square does as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's probably the only three that I can think of, because
I'd have to think whether or not Liberty Tree Tavern has it as well.
Maybe.
Oh, I'd got to hope to get a Sam Adams at the Liberty Tree. Come on.
That's a good point.
Oh, that's a great point.
I heard there's a rumor going around, though, that the Dole Whips might come with a little booze in them. Is that true, or is that like one of those rumors?
I think that's only at Epcot and Animal Kingdom.
That's correct.
Gotcha.
And they're not Dole Whips. They're pineapple soft serve with rum. So they haven't gotten any money from Dole on that to put their name in front of it.
Gotcha. Oh, and I know what I'm thinking about. And we'll talk about this later at the resorts, but definitely the Poly has one of those.
Yes.
Okay. Magic Kingdom right now is kind of limited. And the debate goes on. Why don't they have some open kiosks where you can buy a beer as you're walking around the park and things like that? We're not really going to go into that today. I don't miss it because, you know, it's the Magic Kingdom.
Sure.
And I could just go somewhere else afterwards. So no big deal.
And I've heard that there may be some unscrupulous people who maybe sneak liquor in, if that's your thing. I've heard of people go and get a Dole Whip and, adding a little of their own rum to it. But I would tell you that, you know, if you get caught with that at the security checkpoint, they're going to throw it away. I don't think they'll kick you out, but they'll throw it away. They're not going to let you bring it in.
Yeah, they won't let you have that.
Yeah,
it's certainly.
But if you don't get caught, well, you know, whatever.
Yep.
Right.
Now, the other thing I just thought of, too, as far as the Magic Kingdom goes, which is really cool, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, is that you have the Contemporary, the Polynesian, Grand Floridian right nearby. So if you really wanted to go to a bar and have a great sit-down cocktail or drink, there you go. So awesome lounges. Okay, so let's move on to another park. I'm thinking Animal Kingdom.
Oh, very nice.
Yep. And to me, the big bar that comes to mind right away, one of the places we go a lot, is the Dawa Bar, which is over by where the Lion King show is now and on the way into Africa in the safari. It's actually the waiting area for the Tambu. No, not the Tambu Lounge. What's the restaurant there?
The Tusker House.
Tusker House, mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I've got bars on the brain. But it's a great place, and they have a lot of music that's just right out there in that little area. So it's a great place to get a drink, hang out.
Before we get going with Animal Kingdom, let's just cut back here to the Liberty Tree Tavern. I was able to pull up the menu, and just to confirm, they do have Miller Lite, Angry Orchard, mimosas, and Sam Adams available.
There you go.
That is very interesting. And I say that because I am a guy who likes, you know, my go-to light beer is Miller Lite. And you don't find it at a lot of places on Disney property. Usually they carry mostly Budweiser products.
It might be a contractual thing.
It could be. I find it interesting.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, guys, back to Animal Kingdom.
So for me, Animal Kingdom, and I'll say it on behalf of Sam. I know Sam loves the Tiffin's Lounge.
Sure.
For certain. But for me, I do a little bit more of the grab-and-go on the run beverage. And for me, that is the Thirsty River Bar.
Is that the one we were together at? Like we went and got a drink together at?
That's correct. So that's over by Everest.
Yeah. On the way to Everest, right, basically.
Yes.
Kind of pokes out and it's got two sides you can walk up to. I think that's the only place I've actually had alcohol in Animal Kingdom. But it was they had some really interesting like frozen drinks and it's some really good drinks.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, the place at Tiffin's that Lisa was mentioning Sam likes, he can't be with us tonight, but he did send his list, of course. And the Nomad Lounge definitely is one of his favorites. And you know what? I've had a beer there before, but it was while construction was going on in that Pandora area. So behind it was kind of dark, and they had that big wall across the pathway there. So it was kind of a little bit, I guess, alleyway-like
sure.
In the back, but it was still a nice place. Definitely I could see hanging out there.
I've just had a client there who's some friends of mine were there the week before the hurricane, and he's not a fan of a lot of like the simulator rides. So while the kids and his wife went on the Flight of Passage, he sat at the Tower Bar and had a couple of drinks, and he loved it. He didn't want to leave. He thought it was great, so...
I will say, if we're talking about Pandora, on a side note, while I did not have an alcoholic beverage from there, Pongu Pongu, or Pongu Pongu, is a great place to stop and get a beverage. I happen to get a Night Blossom, which is that frozen fruity concoction.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that the place outside, kind of by the big robot? Is it an indoor or is it like you walk up to a counter outside?
You walk up to a counter outside. It is right next to that big robot. Right.
Okay, gotcha. I know where it is. Nice. Yeah, we didn't have a chance to get a drink there either. However, that is on my list for this next trip.
Hmm.
Okay, cool. So any other kind of really favorites for there?
There's also, my wife got a drink. I don't remember the name of the place, though, but it's almost like a walk-up place kind of close to Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Is it in the Harambe Village Market in that area?
It's when you go, like, they got the people playing doing the musical performances and stuff, and you're walking back toward there. It's on the left, kind of across from the stage, across from where you get the pretzels and stuff, where they do, like, the hair braiding and stuff like that. I mean, like, all the way on the far left path.
The fruit stand or where that bakery
is? Across from the fruit stand. On, like, if you're facing the entrance to... if you're facing the entrance to Kilimanjaro, it's on the left. And you kind of walk back a little bit, and they have some frozen drinks there, too, that were pretty good.
Oh, you know what? Is it just, like, a tabletop type of,
yes.
like... Yeah, right, like a very portable type,
yes,
type setup?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yep, I know what you're talking about. Cool. Okay, well, cool. Let's move on to Hollywood Studios now. Who wants to go first on this one?
So I'll go first. This is one of the parks where I didn't find myself getting attached to anything that had gone away with the exception of one area. And that was High Octane Refreshments. So if you guys remember, next to Studio Catering Company and over by the back lot tour, there was a kiosk that held one of my favorite drinks, actually on property. It's called the Afterburner. It has now moved over to the Backlot Express, but that used to be my go-to watering hole at Hollywood Studios.
Oh, yeah, down the end of Pixar Place, right before you got to the ride. It kind of had the Coca-Cola colors. I think didn't have that, like, big spray Coca-Cola bottle down there. But the thing that caught my eye always going past it were the big set of, like, liquor bottles on the top shelf behind everything.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
I think that's what originally drew me over to it.
I think, whatever reason, those big liquor bottles always catch your eye, Ed.
Okay, so I definitely like the place. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get a drink there anymore.
No, but I think most of those beverages, certainly my favorite beverage has moved over to the Backlot Express. I think that they have swallowed up a lot of those beverages from that area into some of the other lounges and quick service restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like how they do that. They know something that works, so they kind of try to keep it.
Yep.
Okay. Jimmy, you any favorites in Hollywood Studios?
You know, I mean...
Something you really had a good time at?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the only... I've gotten beers at, you know, at some of the little beer carts and stuff like that, but I've never just sat and hung out at any of the bars. I know Sam... We're kind of channeling Sam, but I know Sam is a big fan of the bar at... what is it? To the Tune-In Lounge?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know he's a big fan of that one. I have not been there. I'm not a big fan of that restaurant, but I haven't been there, but I know he really enjoys the lounge, and I think you can order the full menu from the restaurant at the lounge.
Yes, that's always the big draw. Not having to get a reservation to get a good meal.
Yep.
And I tell you what, on his list he has the Brown Derby mentioned, and I gotta agree with that in that I guess probably about the last 5 years they've had the outdoor lounge at the Brown Derby. And it's kind of right outside the entranceway there to the right, closer to where that little bakery was. And it's a pretty nice area, but in the beginning, I really didn't like the drink selection, so I kind of stayed away from it. It used, to me, it was actually those Star Wars drinks that they would have at the Star Wars parties. So it was always kind of like those, you know, frozen drinks and things like that. However, I found out recently, the menu is incredible now. I had a flight of martinis last time down there, and it was great.
Have to try.
Oh, wow.
In Hollywood Studios, and you know what I think the problem is? Or not the problem, but the issue is that Hollywood Studios isn't the big runaround park anymore. I think we're getting to the studios, or we're coming there in the early afternoon to do some of the things we're planning on doing, and because there's not that much going on, or we have our stuff planned out pretty well, we have time to kind of hang out.
Yeah, that's true. Before they had so much stuff going on there, you didn't really have a lot of time. So that's a good point. And maybe the next time when I'm there and next month, maybe I'll spend a little time. I may go check that place out, maybe get a martini.
that's an interesting take on that, because I almost look at it as in the opposite way, where it's almost, to me, not a destination park at the moment while it's going through this transformation and all the construction, that it's an in-and-out park for me.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So you don't take the time to go enjoy that. You get in, get some things done, and then get out.
That's what Animal Kingdom was.
Yeah. But it's becoming more of a, it's becoming more and more of a spend the whole day there thing.
Sure. Definitely. That's something we could always look at, the creation of a full day Animal Kingdom park. Definitely. Okay. So I kind of agree. There are a couple kiosks out there in Hollywood Studios, which are cool. The one beer stand by the, right past Star Tours as you're coming back down toward the, what's the restaurant with the movie theater inside?
Sci-Fi
Diner.
Yep.
Right. They have a little beer stand right across there that I always seem to hitting on the way past. Mm. Just tends to be that time of the night or time of the day.
Right.
Afternoon, of course. Okay. So let's move on to Epcot. Now, Epcot, of course, has the food and wine, but even without the food and wine, there is plenty of places to go in Epcot to get a good drink. Jimmy, give me one of your favorites. I think we could probably do two favorites each for this place.
I think everybody knows my favorite, but it's going to be definitely the Rose and Crown Pub. And not always, especially during food, not always easy to get into, but if you're there and it's not food and wine, they have great fish and chips outside, right outside of the quick service location. So we'll go get the kids fish and chips, sit in there, grab a table so you can get there for lunch right at about 11, right when everything's opening up, and grab a pint. Get to meet Carl, have a Carl's combo. So that's definitely number one on my list, probably not just at Epcot, but in all of the parks for sure.
Right. I was reading somebody's review of the Rose and Crown, and they have a apple cider combo in there that sounded really good.
Is that the one with
it's a color combination, and I can't remember again.
Our friends, Kelsey, when we were there, she got one that was like a cider and
it's a cider and black.
Yeah, so it's a cider and Guinness, right?
That is the cider and black is cider with black currant liqueur.
Oh no, that's not what I'm talking about then.
Yeah, I was thinking it was something different too, but that actually doesn't.
That's the one Kim really likes, is the cider and black.
Yes, I like that as well.
So one of the ones that I think we're talking about with the cider is called a snake bite, and it's cider topped off with harp. And you can get that in a glass or in a souvenir cup. But the cider and black, as Lisa mentioned, is also very good. That's, I think Lisa mentioned, but it's the cider with black currant juice. And that's probably one of my wife's favorite drinks there.
Right. I think I heard the description of the beer mix and I heard the name of the black. So
yeah,
I'd rather have the beer one. Good. How about you, Lisa? Epcot.
Oh, I think when it comes to the true definition of a watering hole, you can't find anything better than the Rose and Crown at Epcot.
True.
But I find that there are quite a few kiosks around World Showcase that have delightful beverages. So I'll stick with two. One is the Otto Apple, and that is something that you can find in Canada. And believe it or not, it's labeled as the Canada Popcorn Cart is where you find that.
It is.
That's great.
So that's at the Canada Popcorn Cart, and that, so the Otto Apple is, it's Crown Royal Maple Whiskey with an apple infusion and cranberry juice.
And which is funny because you think by the name of it, it would have Crown Apple in it. But it's actually Crown Maple with apple.
Right.
And it tastes like breakfast in a cup.
Wow, that sounds like a dangerous drink.
They also, at that cart, they also have a lot of good beers there. You can get a Labatt, you can get Moosehead, and you can also get Le Femme du Monde, which I know is Joe's favorite.
Yes.
It's like a, Le Femme du Monde is like a 7% beer, too. It doesn't take many of those.
Right. As long as we're talking kiosks, I'll throw mine out there. Always kind of hit the Germany kiosk where they have the beer. And not the one along the restaurant, but the one that's kind of hanging out by the lake.
The pretzel cart.
Right, the grapefruit beer.
Grapefruit beer. They also, the grapefruit beer is fantastic. It's only about 2.8% alcohol, so you'd have to drink about four of those to get up to one Le Femme du Monde. And believe it or not.
With the other kiosk that I have on my list, the Kabuki Cafe is a necessity for me every trip. I always get my blood orange frozen shaved ice sake.
Mm.
Oh, nice.
Which one is that? The Kabuki Cafe?
That's at the Kabuki Cafe in Japan.
Okay. That's the one that's all the way, it's like you're walking into Japan and it's right across from the
restaurant. Yeah.
No, this is actually right next to where you get the funnel cake.
Oh, this is the one facing the lake.
Park. Yeah. Yes.
Do they have the frozen beer in this place too?
Yes, frozen Kieran.
Yes, okay, gotcha.
Which I do not recommend the frozen Kieran.
You know, that's not exactly what it's advertised as. Not to jump away from your drink, Lisa. But
it's actually just
it's only Kieran. Frozen foam.
It's Kieran beer with just plain like shaved ice on top of it.
Yeah, it's not the I was hoping for the slushy thing.
Right, it had no taste.
Which probably wouldn't have been that great, but
it had no taste. The frozen part has no taste, and it actually makes it hard. Well, first of all, you get less beer, and it makes it hard to drink the beer because you got this big chunk of ice floating on top of it.
Well, hopefully it's cooling it as it's going down then. But it's funny how we've had the same experience expecting. I wonder how many people go through that expecting to get the
frozen expecting
beer.
The actual beer,
Is there a spoon?
Frozen beer. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So while we're in Japan, I will also mention one of my favorite places to go visit is the sake bar in the store in Japan. I think it's a great place. I don't know if it's necessarily a watering hole, but it's a great place to go experience something different.
Inside the store or across outside?
No, the sake bar is inside the store. You go straight back into the store and then to the left. It's on the side of the cash register. There is that stand you're talking about. They may sell some sake there.
Right. How long has the sake bar inside been there?
As long as I can remember.
Wow. Okay, cool. I'll have to look for that. I'm sure I've seen it. Maybe I just haven't noticed what the hell it was.
It's kind of tucked back in the corner. So if you're in the store, if you walk straight back and go into that back entrance where all the china and I don't know if it's China, it's in Japan, where all the pottery and the chopsticks and all that stuff are, and then to the left there's like the candy and the noodles and all that. It's all the way back hand corner. That when you turn left, that whole back wall is bottles of sake, and in that corner next to the register they get a little table there that you can try some of them.
Did not know that. However, the little place outside does have sake type drinks.
There you go.
Or sake too. So I guess I never really went looking for it because of that.
Cool.
Hopefully I'll be doing a sake thing at Food and Wine in November after the meets.
Oh, you're going to do the... Yeah, I'll be gone by then.
Yeah, one of the tasting sessions or the... Not mixology, I guess, because you're not mixing anything. Oh, who knows? Maybe they do mix sake with stuff for drinks. Obviously they do. I had one of those frozen drinks at that little place. Anyway.
Well, not members of the official podcast, I will throw this out there because, of course, Kim and Angela do fancy the Joffrey's coffee kiosks around Epcot. They do provide some nice alcoholic beverages if you are into the alcoholic coffees.
Oh, that's nice.
Good point.
Depending on the evening, like when it's a little cooler, perhaps, that's not a bad thing.
Well, I think, you know, so the reason that I think came about is because neither Angela or Kim ride Mission Space. So while me and Lisa are on Mission Space,
right out there,
they walked over to the coffee cart and got a drink.
Yeah,
so
that makes
sense. That's kind of how it came up, funny enough.
Very cool. One of the places at Epcot that I try to like to hit, definitely maybe every other trip, depending on who I'm with, is the tequila place over in Mexico. That is one of the best treats, I think, that Epcot has, in that you can go down there and you could have the best tequila in the world, or you can go and have some mixed drinks also.
Yep.
It's not the biggest bar, so if you luck out, get a table in there, that's cool. But you know what? I've gotten also drinks and stuff, and we've walked outside and just sat in the Mexican Pavilion and hung out. Have you guys been down there?
Yeah.
I have not.
So I recommend, now, you just real quick, you mentioned the Blood Orange, whatever the drink was before?
My Blood Orange Sake Shaved Ice.
Correct. They have a Blood Orange Margarita that I really, really like at this place. If I go margarita, that's the one I get.
There you go.
So that sounds like it must be a stop for me when we go next month.
Oh, no doubt. And the flights are incredible. Get to try out some of that great tequila. And it is smooth. It's such a refreshing, in the last 10, 15 years with the great tequilas coming out, it's so refreshing not having a grimace as you drink down some tequila. It's great.
Yeah, it's definitely. Me and Sam were there together. Oh, man, this is a couple of years ago. And got to try a really good tequila. I mean, it was expensive, and we shared it. Because it was very expensive. Another cool story is one of our sponsors, touringplans.com, which is run by Len Testa.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Len has hosted a couple parties there, like private events, guests for his team and stuff like that. He actually has his own glass there. So certain people get to keep their own glass. It's engraved with their name on it. So when me and Sam were there, we asked to see Len Testa's glass. They tried to ask me for my ID. I'm like, no, I'm not Len Testa. I don't want to drink out of it. I just want to see it. So me and Sam took a picture of it, and took a picture with it. And it's funny because apparently Len Testa's glass sits wherever they store them. It sits right next to Neil Patrick Harris's glass.
Oh, sweet.
So it's almost like a wine flute with Len Testa's name engraved on it.
Wow.
So when he goes there, he's got his own glass to drink out of.
He must have dropped quite the dime in that place.
I would imagine he would have had to.
Think about how much money you'd need to spend in order to get your own glass there.
Your own glass. I think he's hosted a couple of events there. So, right.
But you know what? The great personality Len has doesn't hurt either.
No, that's true.
No.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yep.
Okay, now Sam's choice was the Tudo Gusto Wine Bar. That wasn't that. Is that the cellar bar under the restaurant?
I've been in there with Sam.
Okay.
Yeah, I had all my drinking experiences in Disney with Sam.
I think, you know what? I think we were in there together last time around. Didn't we do Galliano, or we had something? Were you with me?
That's where you can get the grappa.
Yeah, we had grappa with Sam. We had Italian beer there. It was me, Sam, and Kim. And we got like an order. So we ordered like a plate of antipasta and stuff, and me and Sam ordered a pitcher of beer. It was one of the cool places out there that you can get a pitcher of beer. And then he ordered grappa, which I couldn't drink. He drank both of them.
Nice.
That stuff is terrible.
I like my grappa.
It's hot.
I haven't been. I think I've been in there with Sam also, and it was Galliano at that time. Nice place. Just again, there's so many awesome places at Epcot. It's really kind of nice to kind of cruise around.
The other place in Italy is just the store that sells the wine and stuff. I like getting limoncello there, but there's all kind of different Italian wines you can try in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just in the store right up front.
I got to imagine all the other wine places do the same, because Germany has wine too, doesn't it?
I guess. I know France does. France has a store that you can just go buy a glass you can go buy a glass of wine. But you can also get, I think you can get grappa at the store too. And there's some nice little tables out there by the fountain, so you can go sit out,
right,
kind of in front in the main alleyway, and get a glass of wine, or I like the limoncello.
Cool. Okay, so let's go to Disney Springs next. Now, as far as Disney Springs goes, it seemed like once the Adventurers Club left, I really don't go over to go drinking much anymore. It's usually if I meet somebody and we go out to eat, I'll have a drink or wherever we're eating, but not really like a lounge or a bar. There's some great ones out there now, And I do have to make my rounds again. What about you guys? I'm sure I know definitely you've been there recently.
There's a couple places I like down there. One of them is Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar. And if you're an Indiana Jones fan, Jock Lindsey is the pilot in the first Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. So it's all aviation themed, and it's designed like an airplane hangar. But they get some really good drinks. It's very well themed. I've heard good things about the food. It's just a really cool spot to hang out. The other place I've been down there that I'm a fan of is Raglan Road. It has a patio bar behind the restaurant. And usually in the evenings, they have live entertainment. They'll have somebody out there playing guitar and singing. And they have tables out there for people to eat, but there's also a bar. You can just go sit at the bar and watch the entertainment. So that's another cool place to hang.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Jimmy. I love Raglan Road. That is a great place to go hang out with that outside seating area and the performances that they have there. It's fabulous. I'll throw a curveball out there, and I'll say the rooftop bar at the Coca-Cola store.
I remember you did a live stream from that.
Yes, I did. So you can get, I got a Jack and Coke when I was there. You can get, Angela got an adult Coca-Cola float, which is, rum and Coke with ice cream.
And that's then you get, Ed, I don't know if you've been there.
I haven't. This is located down the bowling alley end of Disney Springs?
It's by Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, it's right next to Planet Hollywood.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I haven't been down there in a while, yeah.
We're gonna rectify that next month.
We need to.
Actually, that's a good point, because we were talking about just going to Jock's and hanging out there. Maybe we ought to make this kind of like a tour around.
Yeah, like a research trip.
Yeah,
I think
excellent.
You could do a Beverly's Revenge Challenge. And a Beverly's Revenge is gin, blood orange liqueur, and Beverly.
No.
I would drink that.
I would try it. One of the drinks, well, maybe me and Ed will order one and we'll split it or something. That way you're not too committed. one of the drinks at Jock Lindsey's is called Reggie's Revenge. And Reggie's the snake.
The snake.
In the plane.
That's right.
Snake.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
So. Very cool. You see, now that's why those places are kind of nice, because you see those little things all over the place. I'm sure in the decorations, the names of the drinks and such like that.
Okay, let me tell you real quick. The first time I went there, I got a beer flight. You know, a lot of times you order a flight, like a beer flight, it comes on like a board.
Oh, a flight. I got to imagine. What would they do?
It comes on like a airplane propeller.
Nice.
Like one blade of the propeller.
Perfect.
So just tying in that same theme, you know, it's crazy that they think of things like that.
Well, sure, just to play in the words. Definitely.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome. Now, Sam kind of had a couple choices for Downtown Disney, and his number one down there was the Boathouse Outside Bar. And he was very specific in his note because he was like the second bar on the dock. It's a really, really great place, and it's usually quiet. So I need to find that second bar.
All right, well, let's put that on our list. We need to make a list for when we go down next month. And we'll try and have one drink at each one or whatever.
At least we'll try it. Find them.
Go try and just experience, have a bunch of different experiences.
Nice. Okay, so anything else anything actually stands out? Because there's plenty of places to go in Disney Springs. There's so many new places opening up. A couple of places that have remained. The Margarita Stand in... the Marketplace was always a pretty cool thing. Right on the corner of the place where you can rent the boats.
Yep, they have the Habanero Lime Margarita there, mm-hmm. which is they sell. I hadn't had it there, but I had it at Tambu, and it's great. I highly recommend that one.
And I was just about to say, I don't remember seeing the Margarita place there anymore. So
they moved it. It's on the bridge.
Oh, Oh, okay. Well, I've only been there one time with the bridge, so
yeah,
there you go.
It's on the bridge that goes to...
And it was the hurricane, so I'm sure it was shut down at the time.
I don't think it was open, right. Yes. I'm pretty sure that's where it is now. I think they moved it onto that bridge.
Okay. Good to know. Excellent. Okay, so let's move on to the resorts. And we're going to kind of go through them level-wise, I think, and see if anything really stands out. Because when we start down on the value resort level, the bars are pretty much standard and they're themed, but they're not really that themed. Does that make any sense?
Yep.
They're themed to the resort, but they don't go through the extra little details that most of these other bars go that we're going to talk about at some of the different hotels, the moderates and the deluxes.
I'll just say real quick on the values that my favorite is Silver Screen Spirits at All Star Movies. But that's only because of one bartender, and I'll give Les a big, huge shout out. If you're at All Star Movies and you want to go get a drink, go to the bar and see Les. He's other than being a Chicago Bears fan, he's a great guy, and I've introduced him to lots of my friends throughout the past few years. He knows my kids by name. I mean, he's a great guy. He really does. He knows. He didn't recognize my son last time because he's grown quite a bit, but he knows my kids by name. He knows my wife by a first name basis. So, and that's just from years of staying there.
Yeah, you know, I was there in August, just Angela and I on a quick trip, and we walked up to the bar, and the minute he saw me, big smile on his face, knew exactly who I was, and I had met him maybe two other times. So
he's fantastic.
I think the bartender certainly. There are a few lounges on my list for resorts, and that has everything to do with the staff at the lounge.
Yep. Oh, right. And when we came up with this idea, I think that was one of the key factors, is because there's plenty of places you can get a drink, but there's not a lot of places where you get the experience, and the cast members are definitely part of the experience. And what's cool, a lot of these guys, gals, do stick around for a while, which is great.
Yep.
Okay.
I agree.
Now, one last point about the value resort locations in the bars is that they're really relaxing. Most of them are basically on the building with a lot of outdoor seating, and it was very, very, how do I say this? When Hurricane Matthew came through, it was like nothing happened out there while we were hanging out just enjoying a good evening.
Yep.
Nothing in the parks were open. Yet the bar was open here, and it was a very, very good time. So yeah, definitely don't discard your value resort bar locations. I'm trying to think of the one of the pop. Is that the Pedal Bar?
Yeah, that's the only one that's a little bit different because it's down closer to the pool. It's not connected to the main building.
Right.
And you know why that was done that way? The first time I stayed at Pop, I think it was in 2007. And they had the Pedals Pool Bar, but then they also had an inside bar.
Oh, right. I was about to say that. Because, and I was kind of looking for information on that before we started tonight, because it was like, I don't remember seeing the other one recently. Wasn't it attached to the...
It was kind of attached to the food court, so if you
would,
if you were walking through the gift shop right before you got to the food court, it was on the left. Now I think there's like an ice cream station right there and a package pickup or something. They made an extra dining area right there.
Gotcha. Okay, moving on to moderates. I'm going to start right away with
I think everybody's got that one. it's more about the entertainment than the bar.
Right, definitely is. The River Roost is located where?
Port Orleans Riverside.
Right. And the special cast member we're talking about is?
Yeehaw Bob.
Yeehaw Bob right. Jackson.
Right. Yeehaw Bob Jackson has the greatest piano show you're going to see, basically, in any lounge. Really, really fun time. And to be honest, the bar does make drinks, so it is a really nice place in that regard. The one drink that really came to mind, and I apologize, I don't have the real name to it, but we were calling it Windex at the bar. It was basically a blue martini, and it was great. And it's not a big lounge.
Me being from Louisiana, I was glad to see, you know, it's Louisiana themed because it's Port Orleans, but they have the, you know, our local our main local brewery here, the bigger one, is Abita. And they do have a Abita flight there. So they had Abita Amber, Abita cool. Turbo Dog, and Purple Haze. Which I think I've gotten every. I think I had everybody fall in love with Purple Haze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Very cool. Now, give me another Bard or Moderate. Do you guys have any other experiences?
I would tell you. Let me say two things real quick. First, going back to your point about bartenders and how a lot of them stick around. There's a lady at Port Orleans Riverside with short blonde hair and a gentleman with blonde hair that have been there like since I can remember, since we first stayed there in like 2007. They've been there that long and they're still there. So that's interesting that, you know, those people hang around that long. But I would also say, and I don't know, remember the name of it, but the bar at Port Orleans French Quarter is also very nice.
So I was just going to say the same thing. And that lounge is the Scat Cat Bar, I believe is what it's called. So it's Scat Cats. And with Yeehaw Bob Jackson over at the River Roost, Jason Thomas and Billy Varnes perform over at the Scat Cat. And they are two members of Off Kilter, which used to perform at the Canada Pavilion.
I didn't know that.
And often sometimes they are joined by, it's Greg Hayworth, and he was in Mulch, Sweat, and Shears.
Where's Scat Cats again?
When you walk through the main door, to the right is the lobby, to the left is Scat Cats. It's right there.
Oh, I'm sure. What hotel again? I'm sorry.
Oh, Port Orleans French Quarter.
Oh, the French Quarter. Okay, cool. Nice.
Very cool, nice little bar. It's much, much smaller than the River Roost, but it's a smaller resort.
Wow. So. That's like Trader Sam's size, then. It's like
yeah,
tiny.
It's small. But that's a tiny... Very that's small. That resort is very small, you know, so
true.
It never felt busy. Like, River Roost always feels busy. The Scat Cat Lounge, when we were there, never really felt really busy.
Well, you know what? I think the reason the River Roost seems busy is because you got the River Roost, you've got the sit-down restaurant, and then you've got the food court all kind of in a row. So you always got people coming and going through that hallway right outside because there's not really a solid wall for the one side of the restaurant there, for the bar there, the River Roost. So yeah, everybody's really hustling around. However, once you're in there and you're watching Bob, everything behind you kind of fades away.
Sure.
It absolutely does. So this is the clever planning of Walt Disney World, is that I believe that Yeehaw Bob performs, is it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yes. Yes, so he's off Sunday through Tuesday.
So the performances at the French Quarter are Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that's interesting. So if you're staring at Riverside and you're there for on a night that Yeehaw Bob's not playing, you can walk over to French Quarter and go get some entertainment there.
Correct.
Right. It's a little bit of a walk, but I guess you can walk.
We walked it.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
It's a little bit of a hike, but we walked it.
Cool. Okay, so let's move up. Any other moderates you could think of? I unfortunately haven't stayed many moderates, so Port Orleans is the only one I've stayed at.
I've never stayed at Coronado, but I stayed at Caribbean, and Caribbean has an outside pool bar like the Values, basically. I think it's a little bit bigger of a bar, but right.
Well, hopefully that's what they're working on now with all the construction going on.
Yeah, it may be. Yeah, they very well may be changing that. I don't know about Coronado, but I would imagine Coronado's got an inside bar because that's a convention hotel.
Coronado has a nightclub. They have the Rick's Lounge, Rick's nightclub. So, yes.
As in, like, Casablanca, Rick?
R-I-X.
Oh, gotcha.
The Rick's.
That makes no sense. Okay. Or no, let me rephrase that. I just don't understand the name reference. I'm sure it makes sense in somewhere.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll have to check that out. That's something to look at. Okay, so let's move up to the deluxes, and I say that with a lot of happiness because there's some great lounges and bars at the deluxes. I think that's kind of part of the deal is that you have an incredible resort, you got to have incredible places to go at the resort. You're already paying the money to stay there, right?
Sure. You got a premium locations.
Right. Now, I tell you what, the number one we're going to say after I count down from three, and we'll all say it together. 3, 2, 1.
Trader Sam's.
Now, Trader Sam's is the place they have over at the Polynesian, and it's really not that old. What, 4 or 5 years now, maybe, if that?
Oh, I don't think it's that old,
Not even that old, maybe 3.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a recreation of the bar they have in the Disneyland Resort? Is that what the deal is? Or where is the original Trader Sam's?
Oh, I don't know. It's in Disneyland, but I don't know exactly. I don't know
exactly where it was.
Yeah.
So, and they've tried to reproduce it here. And to me, on property, as far as the places I've been, this is as close as you're going to get to the Adventurers Club as you can, really, right now.
Absolutely.
They have a lot of great drinks and a lot of great things to look around the room at, and a lot of great animations going on. And when I say animations, not really just cartoons, but things moving everywhere.
Yeah. I think another interesting thing about that is they had to adjust the Jungle Cruise attraction because of the bar. So yeah, because
they did.
Because
they did.
Originally Trader Sam was in the Jungle Cruise in Disneyland, and I can't remember what they called him, but the guy with the shrunken heads was named something different, but they've renamed him the Trader Sam now because to play to the theme of the bar right across the way.
Gotcha. Cool. Great bar. The drinks, there's a bunch of drinks they have made for groups, meaning it comes to the table and there's supposed to be like 5 different straws going into that drink and doing enjoying it together. The drinks are great because you never know what it's going to do or what the drink's going to cause the room to do. Very, very fun place. Cast members are really, really into it, too.
Order a water.
Yeah, I was about to say one of the funnest things you can do is order a glass of water.
Yeah, and you got to check out everything in that room. On the walls, they have a lot of books and photographs and things like that. A lot of really, really good tidbits going on in there.
There is a lot. Just to circle back, it is at the Disneyland Hotel in California.
Okay, cool. Now, the thing with Trader Sam's, and we kind of mentioned it, it is a relatively small place, and it's first come, first serve, so there's no reservations. They do have an outside deck where you can actually hang out. People hanging out waiting for dinner can go out there, or people waiting to get into Trader Sam's. Now, I haven't actually heard it or seen it, but I heard tell there's a buzzer that goes off whenever a table opens up, so I guess you either scramble to get to it. I'm not sure exactly how that would work.
Hmm.
However, we mentioned the Dole Whip earlier. You can get a Dole Whip with rum out on the deck.
Nice.
At Trader Sam's.
I have not had...
Or outside Trader Sam's.
Yeah, sorry. I haven't been out on the deck.
I have not been out on the deck as either.
Now, while we're at the Polynesian, we don't want to leave. And I kind of made a mistake and mentioned this earlier because I kind of like this place, even though it's really not that much of a bar or a lounge. They have the Tambu Lounge upstairs.
I love Tambu.
I love
which
Tambu.
Really only has enough room for the bar itself, a TV in that lounge, and probably like 5 or 6 chairs.
But you can certainly, the waiting area in the lobby along the glass is where we typically
right,
would hang out.
Exactly. I was going to say the rest of the lobby, then you have to kind of explore and hang out.
They got a bunch of couches.
And they've got a couple like really cool drinks in there. I think I heard you guys were going through there one time when one of our meetups, and you were going to town on the, the Lapu Lapu?
Lapu Lapu.
Lapu Lapu. That's the one that comes in the pineapple?
Right.
Yep.
It so happened on a trip down to Walt Disney World, I typically ask my mother, who's coming with me, coming to the meets this trip. So I had asked her on a previous trip, what do you want me to get for you? And my mother lives by herself. She said, if you happen to find a Walt Disney World, like, back scratcher, and it just so happens that the Tambu Lounge, you can order a drink called the Back Scratcher, and it comes with a back scratcher.
We have one.
So
that's great.
So when I got home, I handed my mother a back scratcher, and she thought I was the best kid ever for getting her a back scratcher at Walt Disney World. And little did she know, it was because it came from an alcoholic. came with an alcoholic beverage.
Beautiful. That's awesome. See, now that's another cool thing, too, is there are a lot of drinks you can get at Disney World that come with a cup or a back scratcher or something. It's very cool. Trader Sam's, you could pay the extra couple bucks and you'll get the ceramic glass that matches the drink you're drinking.
Yep, I have one. I have this little shrunken, the shrunken head.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably one of the least expensive ones. I think that's why I ended up getting that one, because some of them are really, like the Nautilus is, it's expensive.
Yeah, it is very expensive.
But it's a pretty cool looking thing.
And I also have the Hitchhiking Ghost Tiki mug, because a good friend gave it to me.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, you gave me mine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very cool. Okay, so let's get on the monorail and head over to the Grand Floridian. Now, as far as the Grand Floridian goes, I know they have the new bar in the lobby or off the lobby. What's the name of that, Jimmy?
Misner's, I think.
I think it is. I haven't been. I have been to Narcoossee's, and Narcoossee's is okay. I mean, they have a bar inside there. However, that's really more of a restaurant.
And I think it's a little bit fancy. It's very fancy at Narcoossee's.
Sure. All of Grand Floridian pretty much is fancy.
I've never been to any of the bars there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get back on the monorail then. And we're going to head over to the Contemporary, because I know there's a place we're going to drink at the Contemporary.
Yes.
There's a couple places.
One for sure.
Yep. Now, the Contemporary is really nice in that since they brought in the DVC hotels, there is another great location where you can go. Right. So one of Sam's favorites we'll talk about right away is the California Grill. So that's existing on the Contemporary proper. And that's another one of those ceiling or roof restaurants that's pretty incredible. I unfortunately have never experienced it. That is definitely on one of my lists.
That's one of Lisa's favorite restaurants.
It is.
Nice. Well, go ahead and talk about it.
It is one of my favorite restaurants. So here's the catch with the California Grill is that when you get off the monorail and you go down to the Grand Canyon Concourse, you would think that you just need to find an elevator and go up. But in order to get to the California Grill, you need to go down in order to go up. So you have to go down to the lobby, I think it is, or the third floor. And there's the hostess table is actually there. And that's where you check in for your reservation. You can also walk over and ask if there are any seats available at the bar. So if you don't have a reservation, it's totally fine to walk over and say, you know, I just want to grab a glass of wine. I want to grab some sushi. I want to eat a flatbread. Is there anything available at the bar? And they'll look on their list and go, yeah, actually, we have, you know, three seats available. Come on up. So they'll put you on the elevator. You head on up to the top floor. You grab your glass of wine, your beverage, your beer, maybe a little bit of sushi, but you can also walk right out onto that deck, and it is fabulous. The views of Magic Kingdom are amazing. So I agree with Sam. It's probably one of my favorites. But it is an untapped treasure to many people because most think it's just a restaurant. It does not have a bar up there. And you can absolutely walk right up to that hostess stand on that bottom floor and ask if there are any seats available.
Hmm.
Nice. That's a great thought.
Yep.
Because cool. If I get there, maybe that's a great way to try it out, just to kind of hang out at the bar for a drink or two. Or an app. Now, leave it to the Contemporary to kind of outdo itself a little bit. They also have this really great lounge on top of the DVC towers that they just recently built. Jimmy, you know the name of that one?
Top of the World.
Excellent. Luckily, we have a lot of DVC friends, Sam, Jen, and we've been up there a couple times.
Yep.
And it is... it's a lot of different experiences. I mean, the bar itself is great. I mean, we spent some time in the bar the last time we were down there, and they've got a lot of good drinks, some couple unique drinks, but basically it's standard. But the view, again, up there, just like the California Grill, is
amazing.
Breathtaking. Between catching the fireworks over at the Magic Kingdom or seeing the electric light parade on the lake, it's just so many things to do.
I thought another thing I remembered about that place is that they have some very interesting seating there. Now, last year when we were there, we just kind of sat at a table in the middle of the lounge. But remember the year before, along the wall, they have cutout booths that are dug like into the wall almost.
Right, right. Yeah, so you basically can kind of sit almost by yourself.
By yourself, yeah. You really feel like you're almost by yourself.
You could probably put about five or six people in there too. It was nice.
Yep, I agree. And I think
so. The great. Sorry, go ahead.
If you're on still on Top of the World, go ahead.
I am.
Okay.
So one of the greatest things about the Top of the World, it's the lounge, correct?
Yes.
That
yes.
is not something I have experienced, but does pay homage to the California Grill. Do you know how?
It's on top of the building?
Well, it's what the California Grill used to be called.
Huh.
The first time I ever went to the Top of the Contemporary, because it's...
Top of the World. Okay, right. Okay, yep.
Yep, used to be called... So the 15th floor used to be called the Top of the World Restaurant. And then,
that's very cool.
Yeah, they used to do Broadway at the top. They used to do all this fun, do all these performances up there, and then it got switched over, reimagined into the California Grill. And I think people that frequented the Contemporary missed it, and that's how you got the Top of the World Lounge.
That's awesome. That place is really cool, too. And they have some really cool drinks. Some of the drinks are like... I had one there that was like Monorail Blue, or, you know, I think there's a Monorail Yellow, so they have some Monorail themed drinks. And what's really interesting about that place is, similar to California Grill, like you were saying, Lisa, the check-in stand for Top of the World is down at the bottom in the lobby, and you have to go there, show your DVC card, and then they walk you to the elevator. And they have to punch in a special code to get the elevator to go all the way to the top.
Yep, pretty fun experience.
So not just anybody can just go hop on the elevator and get there.
Right. Now, one more place at the Contemporary, which I've been to once, and actually, kind of thinking back on it, I don't remember a lot. So I'm thinking this was at the end of an evening. We went to the Wave.
Me and Lisa, the first time we had our meetup, in that February, at the Tambu, we started the Tambu and we ended at the Contemporary at the Wave, and that's the first night me and Kim had met Lisa and Angela, and we stayed at the Wave, wow, pretty late, I think.
Really late.
Now, I do remember the entrance being a very big blue tunnel. That's about all I remember from that place,
yes,
though.
It's a beautiful place, beautiful.
I'd have to see it again.
Big, big bar.
Yeah, huge square bar.
With a lot of little side rooms, too, in there. That's a beautiful place. It really is. Great place to go get a drink.
Nice.
I mean, it's not Trader Sam's cool. You know what I mean? Because right. I think Trader Sam's is on a different level. But this is more of a nice, just a nice place to go.
Hanging out cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Very nice. Now, the other deluxe in the Magic Kingdom area is the Wilderness Lodge, which I've never had the opportunity to go over there and hang out.
Me either. It's not, and I think it's just because it's not on the monorail. I think that's why. If it was, I probably would have been there.
You guys are missing out. You got to take the boat and head over. It's a beautiful lobby. There are a few lounges there. They just opened a new one called Geyser Point, and that is on my bucket list. I wanted to get over there in August, and I did not, so I'm definitely going to try to get over there in October into November. On this next trip, because I have heard that it is it is amazing. It's right on the water, so.
Oh, cool! So I guess that would have to be because that's where the geyser is, down like toward the lake.
Mm-hmm. Right by the boat launch.
On the property, yeah, very cool. Okay, so now we're going to move over to the Epcot Deluxes. And again, these places are pretty incredible. Unfortunately, I don't get over to the boardwalk that often.
Mm.
How about you guys? Now, I know they have Jelly Rolls over there, which is an incredible place, I understand.
Jelly Rolls is cool. ESPN Bar is very cool.
Mm-hmm. The Atlantic Dance Club is over there. Really, the boardwalk is an entertainment venue in and of itself on property. It's an, I call it the untapped treasure.
Yeah.
Not a lot of
sure,
people
call I believe it there. That. Now, tell me something. Do the hotels themselves that are on the boardwalk have their own lounges in them, or is it just everything on the boardwalk they're relying
you
on?
You went there.
I'm trying to remember.
We met there for the boardwalk tour. We met in the bar area. That's the Bellevue Lounge.
Bellevue Lounge.
But I thought that whole area was being changed out. So
I don't think so.
Don't make it so obvious I don't remember.
You were drinking that morning.
Anyway.
I think they served like breakfast and stuff, like small breakfast stuff that morning when we were there. But they'd also served as the bar at night.
And the bar?
Right, because weren't they doing breakfast at the bar or breakfast in a place they weren't normally doing breakfast because they were getting rid of Cat whatever the chef's restaurant?
Cat Cora.
Right. I thought that place had just closed or whatever the main, and they were kind of like spread out different areas.
Oh,
the bar wasn't.
We didn't
the
bring
bar.
Up Abracadabar.
Not yet.
I wasn't that impressed by that place.
I wasn't either.
The Bellevue Lounge is nice if you want to watch people lick each other's faces.
What?
bizarre story.
Bellevue, is this separate from Abracadabra?
Yeah, Bellevue Lounge is upstairs in the boardwalk. That's where we met for the boardwalk tour, the couches we sat on and all that.
You're right. They were having breakfast up there. That's why I didn't recognize that as a bar.
Yeah, nice it's a bar place. At night. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Library. It's so I shouldn't... Books all along the walls. It's very nice.
So anyway, me and Lisa, Cam, and Angela were out one night, and it was getting pretty late, but that was our last stop. And we went to the Bellevue, and I don't know. And there's a beautiful patio out there. You can walk out on the patio and look over, like, the boardwalk area. But they had this couple there, and they talk about public display of affection. I mean, it was really weird. Like, she literally licked his face.
It was extraordinarily like, uncomfortable.
It was bizarre.
Are they there every night?
I don't know. It could be the entertainment at the Bellevue. Maybe that's their thing. I don't know. It was weird.
Gotcha.
And we were like sitting on a couch across from them. It's not like we saw this from across the room. We're sitting there on like one couch. We're on the other couch facing them.
Right. Yeah, I'm never surprised anymore.
And that's a great way to go, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap things up, I just want to throw this out there. We can't forget kimonos.
Good one.
Over at the Swan and Dolphin.
Dolphin.
Over at the Dolphin.
You know how I remember it is because it's sushi, it's at the Dolphin.
Appropriate.
So it's fabulous. Fish. Yeah.
And then I'm going to throw this out there because we had talked about it earlier. What makes a lot of our experiences fabulous is the wait staff or the bartenders. And I had two fabulous experiences at the Cruise Cup, which is over at the Yacht Club.
Mm-hmm.
We went, because we were there for so long for our honeymoon, we happened to go on a Sunday, and sometimes it's tough, especially with the ESPN and Barbie in there and all these other establishments. It was tough to find a place to watch a football game when we were down last October. So the first Sunday we were there, we were trying to find a place to watch a football game, and we happened to trip over the Cruise Cup, which was great. The waitress that was there sat, talked to us. Another couple came in. They sat and talked to us, engaged. We watched a football game. That was fabulous. Then we went back the next week, and the waitress walked over and said, "Do you want the same thing you had last week?" And I thought that... To have that type of an interaction with a member of the wait staff or a bartender, that they automatically know what you want after only having been there for maybe an hour and a half, to know
sure.
Yeah, that piece of it, to me, that is guest service at its finest.
Wow. Yep, that's awesome.
Awesome. All those, see, that's what kind of sticks out is you have that great, full experience. It's not just the drinks. It helps, but it's not just the drinks.
Well, guys, I think that about wraps it up. I tell you what, I would love to hear from the listeners about anything we might have missed, any of their favorite bartenders or maybe their favorite watering hole. You can email the show at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Send us a message on the Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Join the group, Disney Nerds. I'll start a post there about our favorite watering hole. Maybe you can respond there. At Twitter, at the Disney Nerds, and Instagram, at the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Okay, guys. So that's it for tonight, and we made it through still standing up. I think that's really a good accomplishment.
Lisa looks a little suspect at this point.
Oh, that's okay. It's the end of the night.
All right.
Okay, guys. Well, that's it for Lisa, for Jimmy. This is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, Reenie.
So long.